Due to a technical fault with this week's Kelly Alexander Show, we now present this encore presentation. A new edition of the program will return next week.
Music, news, entertainment, it's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and welcome to the show. This week, we're excited to bring on Matt Webb, lead guitarist of Marianas Trench, who has just released a solo single called Again and Again. Matt has a lot to say about the type of music he's producing, why Marianas Trench has such a strong and loyal fan base, and what one thing he needs with him while he's on tour. We also welcome Canadian blues artist Steve Strongman, talking about his latest album, No Time Like Now. And of course, we've got new music from her and Justin Timberlake. But first, let's go back to 2008 and hear from Welsh singer Duffy with her hit song Mercy, which made it to number one in many countries around the world, including the UK, Germany, and Switzerland.
Hit the beat and take it to the first note.
Yeah.
Show.
Summer starts now.
I love your heartbeat, giving me rhythm, and I can feel your frequency. So unique, in other words, such a freak. Set me free. I wanna be your soulmate for the night. Let me put my soul on you. close for me. I wanna be your soulmate for the night. Let me put my soul on your solid pride. Let me pull you up out your body and mind. Let me be your soulmate for the night. Just for the night. For the night. Just for the night.
That's new music from Justin Timberlake called Soulmate, which he dropped as a surprise to all his fans. Justin actually said on his Instagram that the song came together quickly. It was written on June 26th with the final mix ready on July 3rd. Hey, it's Kelly, and we are super happy to welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show recording artist Matt Webb, who also happens to be the lead guitarist for double platinum selling group Mariana's Trench. Matt has just released a new single called Again and Again, and we can't wait to hear all about it. Matt, thank you for joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. How's it going?
I am so excited to have you on. It's no secret that I'm a big fan of Mariana's Trench, so anytime I get to talk to one of you members, it's super exciting to me, and I just think it's awesome that somehow you've managed to find the time, because I know you guys are so busy all the time as part of the group. How did you decide to actually, you know, make time to carve out solo time in a solo career?
Oh, well, you know what? The Mariana's Trench schedule has been incredibly busy lately. You're right. We sort of wrapped up our last touring cycle and then have gotten to the studio and working on a new album. And I realized, like, over the Christmas holiday, we had sort of shut down. And I had a little bit of time and, you know, a few little ideas floating around in my head. And I felt like it might be time to work on some more solo stuff. I hadn't put anything out in a long time. And I'd been, receiving a few messages from the fans saying, hey, where's the new stuff? So I thought I would, just get back in the studio and crank something out. And I got together with a couple of good friends and we just had some fun in the studio and just put one song together, you know, nothing crazy. There's no album or anything like that yet, but I'm just happy to get those creative juices flowing again another way. And you know, it's always fun being in the studio with whoever.
I wanted to ask you about that. So, because this is not your first rodeo releasing solo stuff. You already had an EP before that come out, Right Direction, back in 2014. So I know you said there's no, like, album on the way, but do you think you might do another EP, or are you just kind of releasing singles? Because I realize this is a singles market these days, but maybe there's plans for something else?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it definitely is a singles market, so the whole, like, album thing, I suppose, is maybe not as important, but I'm a little bit old-fashioned, and I would have preferred to have done a an album or an EP. Literally, I just did not have the time. So when a window opens up where there's some ample room to record something, I'll definitely get it done. But for the meantime, just the song for
now. Now, can we talk a little bit about Matt from Mariana's Trench versus Matt Solo Star? Are these two different people or just different characteristics popping through?
No, same guy. I don't know. The Mariana's Trench is my family and my livelihood and something that I've been doing for 20 years and is what I love to do. And yeah, no difference really. I like doing the solo stuff because there's not a lot of expectations in terms of anything really. Like I don't have to follow a particular, you know, format. I don't have to have a particular genre. I've released like ridiculous Christmas songs that have nothing to do. Like this Christmas we did a rap, and then like last year I did like something even worse. And it's fun. Like there's just no expectations, and I can kind of do whatever I want, and it's just strictly for fun.
Talk to us about the song specifically again and again. How did it come to you? Were you working on it sort of maybe when you were on tour with MT and just had some downtime, or like did you just literally create it that day in the studio?
Literally created it that day in the studio. I walked into the studio. I work with a producer and a longtime friend of mine named Kevin Marr, who's the singer and writer for a band called Fake Shark. And he's also a really accomplished producer. And we got in the studio together, and we were working out of a record label called 604 Records. And one of the artists on the label is a really awesome pop musician by the name of Matthew V. And he was hanging around, and we invited him to come into the studio, and we all just like got together and we were sitting around laughing about, you know, our lives and ridiculous things that have happened in them. And then, sort of started jiving on the song and it just came out of a really organic, like, you know, just three guys in the studio just trying to be creative.
Now, can you talk to us a little bit about, because obviously being, you know, doing some solo stuff, obviously you are the man, right? Like you're the front man, you're the lead man. And it's funny, I will say this about Mariana's Trench. There's lots of bands out there where like, you know, maybe the lead singer, maybe the drummer, maybe the lead guitarist, but like you don't often picture all the faces of the band. But I can say when I think of Mariana's Trench, I know all of you guys. Like all of you guys stick out to me. Like I can visually picture all of you separately right now.
That's a nice compliment, actually. I like that.
Yeah, which I think is really great, because you literally cannot, like, I mean, if I even tried to, like, picture Bon Jovi, I can't even picture all of them. Like, I just cannot. So, and even, like, the same with, like, Aerosmith. I can picture, obviously, Steven Tyler. But, yeah, everybody else, not really. So I think that's very unique about, your band. But I'm just wondering, like, when it comes to MT versus, you know, your solo stuff, obviously Josh does a lot of the lead vocals for MT. How does it feel differently to be the lead vocalist this time around and obviously throughout the solo work that you've done?
Yeah, well, for starters, the vocals are a lot crappier because I'm singing them and not Josh.
Don't say that.
He's quite the accomplished singer there, that guy. I don't know. I actually I don't love being the front man. I really enjoy my position in Mariana's Trench as guitar player guy and like occasional singer guy. And I like that a lot. You know, I don't have the like the pizzazz of a real star front man. And I don't think I ever will. And so like with the solo stuff, I do get a little intimidated, playing it live. I feel like I'm not as entertaining as I would like to be. And I suppose like maybe I should stare in the mirror and watch like Mick Jagger videos or something like that and learn a little bit more or learn from Josh. You know, obviously I pick up a lot of tricks from him, but it's just a different style for me. Like I'm a little more low key and I just don't have that. Like, I don't know. I think when people come to the shows, like anybody who's seen one of my solo shows, they know that, like they know the kind of person that I am and the kind of performance that I'm going to put on. And I like to just like, you know, I get together with the guys in my band and we just go up there and play. And it's a pretty like, low-key thing where we just like to groove and have fun and make music and hopefully it translates into a nice experience for those watching. I think it does, but it's different.
Joining us on the show is recording artist Matt Webb of Mariana's Trench. Make sure you follow him on Twitter and Instagram at MattWebbMT. Do you think like you would ever want to do, like I know you've gone out and done some solo stuff as you'd mentioned. Do you think you would ever want to like legit be on like a solo tour that was doing like lots of dates, not only in Canada, but elsewhere? Because I know like Mariana's Trench is not just popular in Canada. That's another good thing about you guys. Like you are getting global, so.
Yeah, I love touring. It's a wonderful part of the job. There are definitely downsides being away from your family and friends, but for the most part, it is a lot of fun. We have a, you know, touring with the band, we've got it's a family. There's four guys. We've been doing it for a long time. We have a lot of laughs together, been through a lot together. Our crew is, you know, a great hang too, and we have a ton of fun. And it's hard to do that. Solo is different because I haven't been with the same kind of slants. Like with the band, it's the same group of guys that we've been doing it for a long time. Solo stuff is like, it's just sort of me out there. I do have a backing band that are close friends of mine. But it's just a different experience. I would love to be able to tour the world solo. I'm sure I would really enjoy it, but I don't know that I would want to devote that much time to doing it on my own. I prefer the family vibe of Mariana's Trench. And it's a tough question. I'm not really certain. Like I love touring, so I would be happy to do it all the time. I'm sure if the opportunity presented itself to play all over the place, I absolutely would take it. But I think at the end of the day, I definitely prefer doing it with the band.
Does Matt Webb have a sound? Like, do you have a sound, or do you find like it's constantly evolving? And do you find it's in the same? Because like listening to the song, yes, I can hear sort of elements of how you would be in Mariana's Trench, but I also find that it's different. So like, how do you view the Matt Webb sound?
I always, I keep saying this over and over again, but I do try and write late night driving music. I always like, my favorite time to listen to music is when I'm driving in my car late at night and it's raining. And okay. I don't know why, but that's like, I always sort of want to have songs that suit that mood. And that's really it. There's nothing else. Like, as far as like genre goes, like, I don't really care what it sounds like. You know, I might put out a country song one day, or I might put out like a, you know, sometimes my stuff is really poppy, and other times it's like a little more organic on the Right Direction EP. It was very much just like guitar, drums, bass, vocals, and that's it. You know, and again, we've got a lot more synth textures and electronic sounding stuff. So like, I'm not like keen on sticking to a particular format, but, yeah, just trying to create that late night driving mood is what I'm always going for.
Now, you've described yourself as a typical 80s kid in a bunch of interviews and said that has sort of influenced your solo music. Is that still the case? Like, do you find, and who did you listen to? Like, I want to know who you listened to as an 80s kid.
Yeah, for sure, 80s kid. My favorite band is probably The Police. I love weird 80s hair metal like Def Leppard, and I love Dire Straits, and I love, Tears for Fears and the Eurythmics and those kind of bands that I grew up listening to, mostly because my parents just put them on, so I was forced to listen to them at the time, and they kind of embedded themselves in my blood somehow. And I like the style of production back in the 80s, and I like the way songs were written, and I don't know, it was what I grew up on, so that's what I know.
Awesome. Now, I have to ask you this. So I interviewed you guys as a band, like, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, and we put that interview up on our YouTube channel, and it went bananas. Like, we got it into your fandom, like, we got it through to your trenchers, and, like, the interview exploded. Like, we got, you know, thousands and thousands of hits, which was amazing.
Oh, amazing.
And I love that. And, like, I remember, like, when these hits kept, you know, popping up, and then people were commenting on the YouTube channel, they love you guys. Like, you guys have such an amazing group of fans. And I know, too, because, like, I've tweeted out, you know, sometimes when we're playing your music on, you know, the station I work for, Virgin Radio, and, like, they'll answer me back. They're like, of course we love them, and, like, this is the best song, and thanks for playing them, and they lose their marbles. What does your fan support mean to you? Because I can say, as a radio announcer who's interviewed a lot of people, that not everybody has the fan support that you guys have.
Yeah, you're right. And fan support is everything. I'm actually sitting in my car outside my house right now, and I'm looking at my house. I'm like, I do not have a roof over my head if it is not for our fans, and I would not have my car that drives me to the airport because, you know, if it wasn't for our fans. And not that it's all about like material possessions or whatever, but like they're so supportive. They're incredible. I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for them. We wouldn't have had such a wonderful long career if it wasn't for our fans. They're incredible. We just played our first show of the summer in Timmins, Ontario, 2 days ago, and there were people flying in from all over the world to see us play in Timmins, Ontario. And, you know, it was a great spot, but it's not exactly a hot spot tourist destination. And nothing against Timmins. I love the town, but you know, like, there are easier cities to get to than Timmins. But these people are coming from all over the place, and it's crazy. Like, I don't understand why I've never liked a band or anything that much in my entire life. But for whatever reason, we have fans that continue to support us year after year, album after album. And sure, you know, they come and go and they grow and they get into different tastes and stuff. But there's like been a foundation of people there for 10, 15 years, even longer for some. And I don't understand. Like, I don't get it. But I do, like, I love it because I look out in the audience, I see all these familiar faces, and I know a lot of names, and I know a lot of stories, and I know where a lot of people are coming from, and it's so inspiring, and it just makes me want to put on a really good show and give everything I can back to these people who spend their hard-earned money on our t-shirts and our concert tickets and traveling to get to our shows, and you know, and that's like, I really, really, really appreciate it.
Why do you think you guys have lasted so long with regard, because, you know, bands in any genre, it's hard to stick around it, like, but you guys, especially, you know, I would say like pop bands, I know you're more than just a pop band, but like in Canada, you're getting played on Top 40 radio, so we're going to call you a pop band at least partially.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, like so many bands in your genre could say that they have come and gone and say too, like it's over, but you guys just keep resonating. Like, what do you think sets you guys apart? Is it your, I'm not sure if it's your authenticity, because I feel like you each have personalities that I think speak to all of your fans. Like, I'm not sure if you agree with that or not.
Yeah, I suppose I do agree with that. I don't really know why that is. I mean, we are who we are, and maybe it's just an excellent combination of people that came together by complete fluke. I think, like, for us, I mean, the way we keep together as a band is by just being good friends. I mean, we laugh and laugh and laugh, and that's really what keeps us going. You know, we're all very close, and we all have similar goals and similar interests and a similar you know, desire for global domination as Marianne's Trench and a good work ethic. And I think that's kept us together. And we also have a wonderful team around us. Everybody from record labels and managers and tour managers and booking agents and all those people, we've surrounded ourselves with very talented, also authentic, very genuine people who also, you know, they're working towards the goal with us. And then just like, I don't know, Josh is a wonderful writer. He's an incredibly talented guy. He's an empty well, a bottomless well of ideas. And so he keeps writing these wonderful songs, and the fans keep reacting to it. And we try to just get out and play as much as we can, say thank you as much as we can, engage, you know, our fans and learn a little bit about them and just try and be good people. And I think that's sort of like the, I don't know, I guess there's a lot of keys to the or a lot of pieces to the puzzle, but seems to be going well so far. So just stick with the same formula and see what happens.
And with regards to your solo stuff, are you going to be doing some spot dates around the country? Like, can we see you anywhere? Just you?
It's possible. I would say not in the near future. Unfortunately, my summer is very busy because of Marianne's Trench shows. And in between that, we're in the studio working on our new record. So unlikely that I'll get out for any solo shows anytime soon. But if there's another lull, yeah, I'll try and set something up.
And I'm going to call you out because on one of the press materials I got, it said, you know, Matt has gone to some key cities, and then they listed every city except for Montreal. So I'm mad at you. So next time you have to come to Montreal. Okay?
It doesn't get any more key than Montreal. That's,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I want to make sure you come. And just a couple of questions just before you go. I wanted to ask you, if you could swap or switch places with any artist for one day, who would it be and why?
Sting.
Oh, awesome.
I'm a huge, huge fan. And, I just, such a talented guy, travels all over the world playing, you know, the coolest shows. He just did a record with Shaggy. I know, like, probably nobody
yep.
knows that, but,
yep.
but it's like, it's actually pretty good. And you're like, what are you doing a record with Shaggy? Like, it didn't seem to mix together. I like Shaggy and I like Sting, but like together seems strange, but it actually is not bad. And they're traveling all over the world playing music. And it's just like, the guy does whatever he wants. And he's got this catalog of wonderful songs that he can pull from at any time, and fans love him, and he's a really nice guy. I don't know. I would do that. It'd be and he lives in a castle. So.
Oh, yeah. That is also cool. And, you know, when it comes to being on tour, what's the one thing you have to have with you?
Well, I mean, like, the obvious thing is, you know, your cell phones and communicate with people, family and friends back home. But if we're not talking about, like, an electronic device or something, I got to have my running shoes because I love to get out and I need to exercise every day, so I try to get out for a run or go to the gym or the pool or something like that. And also because when you roll into a new town, it's always really nice to get up early in the morning and you know, strap on your running shoes and go for a jog and learn the lay of the land a little bit, maybe see some sights. You know, every town's got something you need to see or some restaurant you need to eat at, and you can usually get there on a jog. And that's kind of my goal. Every
Matt,
morning.
I'm more impressed with you by the moment. I love that. I think that's fantastic. Plus the fact that you said you get up early. Rock stars don't usually get up early, so I think that's fantastic.
I will tell you this. It's a little known fact about me that I am generally the first person to bed and the first person up in the morning. Myself and the tour manager were both pretty. I wouldn't say I'm like responsible or anything. I might have a few drinks after the show or whatever. But I like to go to bed early and I like to get up in the morning because I like to be up early. I get more done. My most productive hours of the day are usually like from 6:30 till, 11:30 in the morning. And by that time, I'm like, now I can play some video games.
I knew there was a reason why I loved you. That's awesome. And I wanted to ask you too. I knew we were kindred spirits from the first time I interviewed you like 5 years ago. I knew it. And so I wanted to ask you this too. What song in the last 6 months, so we'll say 2018, do you wish you had written?
My favorite band right now, and I don't know whether this album came out this year or last year, and I actually don't know what record it's off of, but there's a band called The War on Drugs.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah.
But they have a song called Under the Pressure, and it's like the most beautiful song, and I love it so much, and I wish I had written that. I feel like my solo band could have played that song really well, so I wish I'd written that. Yeah, The War on Drugs, Under the Pressure.
Okay.
My favorite jam right now.
Now, very cool.
I think it's a little old, though.
Is it old?
Now
I'm going to look it up and see what the story is, but I think that sounds cool. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for spending time with us on the show. Like, I really, truly love you guys. I think you're fantastic solo material, and also you as part of Mariana's Trench. And so you're welcome back anytime on the show, and please come to Montreal.
Thanks, Kelly.
So that's recording artist Matt Webb of Mariana's Trench. Make sure you follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Matt Webb MT. And here he is with Again and Again on The Kelly Alexander Show.
I told myself I wouldn't come here again. Thought I'd myself, but I just can't forget what you said. I tried to hide it, couldn't fight it, again and again. I'm left with nothing, just give me something to help me understand. Again and again, I tell myself again and again. One in the same, 'cause I told stories about us. Now I don't know what to say. I replay you leaving when I was bleeding again and again. I miss what you told me. Was that the old me? Now I don't understand. Again and again. Again and again, I must be sure I can't pretend. And I need room to breathe. I told myself you got what you need. But I need is your more, and you know. Again and again, I tell myself again and again.
With Again and Again. Now, up next is a very talented young Canadian artist by the name of Beamer Wigley. First of all, that is just the coolest name ever. And second of all, when you hear him sing, you'll never believe that he's only 16 years old. Here's Beamer with his brand new single called Roller Coaster on The Kelly Alexander Show.
And sliding, you got me hello goodbye, and you got me high and low, and you got me coming and going. No, girl, you got me so confused. You got me over than under. One day it's rainbows and thunder. Is it gonna work out? Hey, I'm beginning to wonder. Are you in? Is it something? Are you out? Or is it just nothing? Make up your mind. Are you gonna love me? Make up your mind. Like a roller coaster, a roller coaster. You got me crying and laughing, you got me overreacting, you got me staying up all night wondering what's gonna happen. All twisted in a knot I can't undo. Make up your mind.
On the Kelly Alexander Show.
On the way, Canadian blues musician Steve Strongman. But first, let's take a listen to a great album track from Madonna that kicked off her Bedtime Stories album back in 1994. The song is called Survival and was the first track on the disc. Madonna with Survival on the Kelly Alexander Show from her 1994 album Bedtime Stories, which was actually nominated for a Grammy for Best Pop Album at the 38th Annual Grammy Awards. Hey, it's Kelly, and guess what? We're very excited to welcome award-winning Canadian blues artist Steve Strongman. Steve's latest album is called No Time Like Now and was nominated for a Juno Award earlier this year. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Kelly.
So I understand that you got into music very early in life. I just wanted to know, did you take up an instrument, right away? And did you sort of know as a child that heading down the career in music was going to be something for you?
Well, I did take up an instrument right away. I started playing guitar at about 10 years old, but I got really serious about it when I was like 15 or 16. And I suppose I was sort of bit by the bug at that point. And once music got a hold of me, there was really little else that I could do. I totally knew that was a path I was going to take.
Now, living in Kitchener, I know it has a music scene, but did you feel like you needed to like spread your wings and get out of there to sort of further the career along?
Well, actually, Kitchener was an amazing place to grow up. It had a great music scene. There were lots of places to play, and I made a living playing in a lot of bars and clubs like a lot of people starting out do. So I didn't feel, oh, I really have to get out of here. It wasn't like that at all. As a matter of fact, it was a very welcoming, inviting, encouraging environment to be in. But, like any artist, you realize that if you really want to have some degree of success, you got to hit the road. That's what I did, but it was always a nice place to come home to, for sure.
And how quickly did you, start the band?
Well, I did a lot of other things before I became Steve Strongman, the artist, we'll say. I was in a rock band called Plasticine with my longtime best friend and producer, Rob Zabo. That was in my 20s, and I toured in a country band in my 20s. I did a lot of different stuff musically, and I remember being on the road with a hip-hop rock artist from Hamilton named Kazzer, and we were driving through the mountains on tour, and I just remember waking up and thinking, this is not an easy thing to be doing, and if we are doing it, I really feel like I have something to say and something to offer. So that's when I came home from that tour, and I put out my first record and started my career that way. It was 12 years ago now.
Now, knowing that you had sort of dabbled in different types of music, how did you head towards blues? Like, was it just sort of a calling?
Well, blues was always my first love. So even when I was playing with a lot of other bands, I would always go and see blues bands and, sneaking into clubs in Kitchener, a club called Pop the Gator, and seeing what blues artists were doing, I quickly realized that all the music that I would love, like rock music, classic rock, was all steeped in blues.
Who did you look up to musically growing up? Who were your go-to artists? And do you find that their sound sometimes maybe seeps into what you produce just because you were influenced by them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think every artist wears their influences on their sleeve for sure. A huge artist for me was a guitar player named Mel Brown. He is a legendary blues guy who played with Bobby Bland and tons of other artists. And getting a chance to spend a lot of time with him when I was growing up in my musically formative years was huge for me. But I listened to classic rock bands like Led Zeppelin and Clapton and all bands that we all love so much. But I realized again that they were basically just blues bands. So then I started digging deeper and deeper into what it is that they were taking from that style of music and bringing that into my own style of music. But Mel Brown was a huge, huge influence for me.
Can you talk to us or give us your opinion on the current state of the Canadian blues scene and if you think it's heading in the right direction?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the Canadian blues scene is very much like everything in Canada, which is it's very eclectic. There's a lot of different styles of music. There's real traditional blues, but there's also kind of blues that's a little more on the rock side. I sort of go in between those two worlds. But, I think that the success that Canadians in blues music have been having recently is because a lot of people are realizing what's happening north of the border. People in the States are starting to take notice, and a lot of Canadian bands do great at the International Blues Challenge and as touring artists too. So it's definitely moving in the right direction, I think. And it's great to see, and hopefully it keeps going like that.
Joining us on the show is Canadian blues artist Steve Strongman. Make sure you check out his website, stevestrongman.com, to grab all of his social media handles, and there's lots of great articles on there, of course. Now, you did describe yourself as more on the rock side of blues. What does that mean?
Well, you know, people have an idea of what blues is. As soon as you say that word to people, they have an idea in their head, just like, I suppose, a lot of different styles of music. And everybody wants to put you into a box. They want to go, oh, this is what you do. You only do that. And I really feel like it's the job of an artist to constantly push the boundaries. That's how I feel. And so a lot of stuff, if you just played it, my music, especially my last record, No Time Like Now, if you just played a song from that and said, what kind of artist is this? You know, there's definitely huge blues influence, like in everything that I do, but there's also rock. There's a little bit of almost gospel flavored stuff on some of that stuff. And, you know, I love all styles of music, so I try and make sure that that comes through in my style of music. So, you know, some people might go, well, wait a minute, blues needs to be more traditional and stick within these parameters. And you know, I really don't like that. So I try and push the boundaries whenever I can.
I want to read a quote to you from the Juno Awards and what they said about your last album, No Time Like Now. It says that, or they say that, it offers tribute to blues rock as a full-blooded living thing, not a museum piece. How does that make you feel when you hear that statement?
Well, that makes me feel good. I think that's great. You know, if blues, again, a lot of people want to keep it traditional, and it is. There's traditional aspects in my style of music as well. But, you know, I think you have to keep moving forward because so much has already been done. Like, you know, if you just went, oh, I'm only going to do this, if you just try and sound exactly like people that you grew up listening to, you know, you're not, it can be a little stagnant. You're not really moving forward. So I'm glad that kind of excitement comes through in the music, and hopefully it keeps going. That's what we're trying to do.
Talk to us about the new album. So I'd love for you to explain the title and also how the recording process went down.
Sure. Well, No Time Like Now, that's part of the, it's the name of one of the tracks on the album, but it's more of a statement to sort of seizing the moment, I suppose. And I really felt like with this record, you know, I'd already had some success with my previous releases. I won a Juno with an acoustic record. The follow-up to that was nominated for a Juno as well. So I wanted to do something different. And it was a real time where I thought, well, what kind of record is it that you want to make? Do you want to go back to doing acoustic stuff? And I felt like I want to do something really exciting. So I went to my producer, Rob Szabo, who's produced my previous two records as well as the latest one. And we just sat down and said, okay, well, what kind of record is it that we want to do? So one thing we did was we put a cover tune on there, which is something that I don't do very often. We covered Randy Bachman's tune, and he also actually played on the tune, which is so great. You ain't seen nothing yet. So we just tried to try and do something fresh and different and keep moving forward.
Now, with Randy being on the album and you know, getting his blessing to do the cover, what was that like? Because it almost feels like you got to hang out with Michael Jordan for a bit.
Well, Randy and I are good friends. We've known each other for a really long time. I used to play in a band with his son, Tal Bachman. So it seemed like, you know, when Rob had suggested that we do a cover, immediately, like without even thinking about it, I said, I want to do a Randy Bachman tune. And, you know, of course, him being Canadian, but he's an international, incredibly acclaimed songwriter. So you're right, though. It was a really, really big deal, because when I sent him the track, you know, you never know if people are going to like it or not. Certainly to have that contact with him and be able to send him the song and say, hey, what do you think about this? For him to email me back right away and say, oh my God, I love it, because it's a different take on it. And then the next question was, oh wow, that's great, you love it, do you want to play some guitar on it? To which he said, yes, of course. And that was a really special thing, because, you know, he didn't have to get behind it the way that he did, and it was really cool.
Along the lines of working with someone who obviously has an amazing resume behind them and career, I was just wondering, is there anyone else in the planet right now that you would love to do a tune with that, you know, would be on your bucket list?
Absolutely. You know, I was asked this question a long time ago, and it seemed ridiculous at the time. People said, who would you like to play with? Who would you like to meet? And at the time, it seemed like a ridiculous thing, but I said, I'd really love to meet B.B. King. And I did get to meet B.B. King, and I did get a chance to open up for him in Kitchener. So, you know, if I could pick anybody right now, like, it sounds ridiculous, but I would really love to sit down and do some playing with Eric Clapton.
Oh.
I think that, you know, he's gone through decades and decades of an amazing career, and that would be a lot of fun.
I have to ask you, do you have any sort of guilty pleasures? Like, are you a Katy Perry fan?
I'm not a Katy Perry fan, but I do have two daughters that are 9 and 12, and they are constantly trying to get me interested in music that I normally wouldn't be interested in. So my ears are always open to new things. I'll just say that.
Okay, that's cool. I also wanted to ask you, I know you're coming to play at the Montreal Jazz Fest. What's it like? I know this is not your first rodeo with us here, as far as I know. So what's the vibe in your mind when you come to Montreal? Because I always feel like we definitely are different than other places across the country.
Well, I honestly, Montreal and Quebec holds a special place in my heart. It really does. The music fans, in particular at the Montreal Jazz Festival, but in many places in Quebec, are just incredible. So to come back to the Jazz Festival this year, it's always amazing. I love how diverse the programming is. And, you know, if it were up to me, I'd spend a lot more time at the festival, because to just come in and sort of come out because you're on the road is a difficult thing. But it's amazing. People are always really interested in what it is, even if they haven't heard of me before. Mm-hmm. You know, people are constantly interested in checking out different styles of music. And it's one of the best festivals in the world, really. It's huge and it's amazing, and I'm really looking forward to coming back.
Talk to us about being on the road. Now, you mentioned you have two young daughters, and I'm just wondering, is it like, and obviously they're of an age where it's not like they're two and one, but they're still young, so is it harder for you to leave them, especially, you know, as your oldest one's probably heading into tweenhood soon?
Yeah, that's right. It is hard. It's hard for me to leave them when I have to spend a lot of time on the road, but it's something that I've always done since they were born. So it's always been there, and they've grown up realizing what it means when daddy says, okay, I got to go to work, I'm going on the road for a little bit. So that's always been part of their life. But I'm really getting excited now, because they're getting to an age where I can bring them along on certain things, and they can come and hang out. And it's very, very cool. So I think I'm off to France in a couple of weeks, and I was thinking about bringing my wife and kids on this time, but it didn't work out. But we're definitely going to do that another time.
Speaking of your wife, if we've done our research correctly, you've been together since the 90s. I just wanted to know, obviously she has to be super supportive of your career. And I only know what it's like to be in my life. So my significant other has to deal a lot with my crazy schedule being in media. So what does it mean to you, her support? And does she play a part in some of the songs that you craft?
Well, her support it's paramount, really. It's, you know, you have to have that support, or else there's no way I could do what it is that I do. Certainly with having a family, it just wouldn't work. So, and because we've been together, and by the way, I'm very impressed that you've done your research on that. Yeah, we've been together for like 23 years now. So she knew what she was getting into when we got together. And, you absolutely have to be open and honest at all times, or else, you know, you're going to get into trouble. The lifestyle of the musician is not an easy one, that's for sure. But in terms of musically, you know, she generally likes to hear things when they're more finished. Like in the writing stages, she kind of doesn't like to hear, because things change all the time. And if she goes, oh, I love that, or I don't love that, you know, she wants to wait till it's finished, and I'm really sure what I want to present out there. But, you know, she's definitely a sounding board, that's for sure.
Now, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask, you know, the album obviously has been out for a while now. What is next for you within the next 6 to 12 months? Like, are we continuing to tour? Will you start writing again by next summer?
Yeah, definitely. I'm starting the writing process. After, I'll probably start in the fall. I've already got the ball rolling on a few little things, you know, booking some studio time. And the last record that we did, I did a lot of it here at my house to try and free up some time so that you're not under the gun in the studio. I'll probably do that again for this record. But I'm just going to let things sort of continue to brew and percolate and see how I feel about the next record. But definitely in the fall will be a writing time for me.
Awesome. Steve, it's been so great to have you on the show. I really appreciate it. And best of luck, and you're welcome back anytime.
Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been really nice talking with you.
That's blues artist Steve Strongman. Make sure to check out his website, stevestrongman.com. And here comes Steve with the title track off his album, No Time Like Now, on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Let's get down to the lobby. All we need. Let's get down and get it on. There's no time like now. Let's get down and get it on. There's no time.
we need. Let's get down and get it on. There's no time like now. Let's get down and get it on. There's no time like now. Let's get down and get it on. There's no time like now. Let's get down and get it on. There's no time like now. Tell me, do you wanna? Tell me, do you wanna?
On the Kelly Alexander Show.
R&B artist Her with her fabulous new song, Focus, on The Kelly Alexander Show. And if you haven't checked out her music, you absolutely have to. She is fantastic, especially her collaboration with Canadian R&B singer Daniel Caesar on their song called Best Part. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show this week. We always appreciate it. And of course, a big shout out to our guests, Matt Webb and Steve Strongman. Also, a big thank you to our producer, Adam Brisson. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media. You can do so by jumping onto our website, kellyalexandershow.com. And of course, checking out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/kellyalexandershow. Have an excellent week. You and I will chat soon.